Rotatoes! I am full of cold, so I'm gonna keep this hella brief, but I hope you're doing well, drinking plenty of water and not sick like me. We're here for the second part of episode 3 of Arc 6. I hope that you're enjoying it. As always, if you want more Rotating Heroes in your life, don't forget to check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, where we are about to release the finale of Arc 11, featuring Mike Trapp and Caldwell Tanner as well, obviously, as Zach Oyama. It's brilliant. You should check it out. I've really enjoyed doing it. I hope you enjoy it. You take it away, Pesek.
Oh my god.
Deaths are happening.
You roll up to the pier around 3 p.m. next to the seagrass, this sort of big sailboat that Nance, you did your adventure on in the second arc. You see, kind of, you don't see Yareth up there, but next to it, you hear this tink, tink, clunk, tink. And you go around the corner, and there's Yareth on a little fan boat working on the motor. He's got grease on his face.
Captain, my captain.
If it isn't Nance.
It's me. I give him a big hug.
Oh, life is about dancing in the rain, of course.
Of course. And we both just kind of sway and
dance. Sort of, he does his little old man turtle dance.
This is very cute. This is cute.
Well, I feel like I didn't expect to see you for quite some time. We just finished our adventure.
I thought I would
relax with a little tinkering on my fan boat.
Oh, I was going to relax by making a world famous chili. What?
I just heard fan boat. I got excited.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know.
Hello. My name is Yareth Qualdancer. I'm the captain of the Seagrass, and I guess this yet to be named vessel.
Yet to be named, you say?
Yes,
Well, I'm John Dapadil, local roustabout and man of the theater. And I would be honored if you named this vessel after me.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh my god.
21.
Huh. We shall call it John Dapadil. he gets out some like a little bucket of paint and starts riding on it. And he's like, is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, we gotta ride this momentum. Yareth, this is our other friend. I don't know if you've heard.
It's Sago Gleg.
Sago Gleg, I've heard. You reviewed a very nasty portside burger around here.
Oh my gosh, yes. That was one of my most popular episodes. The burger and the toilet.
Yes, I remember the burger and the toilet.
A bit like the princess and the pea. Yes. It was your a modern take.
I eat a burger and I sit on a toilet and I see if I can feel the burger. Yeah.
And you always can.
I always can.
Wow. Well, welcome. Yes. Can I help you with anything?
We're really well. We
I just
we
don't
have
know
a...
why you would put andouille sausage and shrimp on a burger.
You don't know why?
And also cream. It's just too many things for the stomach to handle.
It was a lot.
I agree. That sounds incredible to me.
It would, John.
A gumbo burger. A gum burger.
A gum burger.
Gum burger.
A gum burger.
Gum burger.
Oh, rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, we really want to get to the... we have a bit of a dangerous proposition for you. We want to get to the Saltbreaker's Cove.
Ah, yes. Every boat captain who's worth his salt knows where the Saltbreaker's Cove is. Rather dangerous if you don't play your cards right, but I'm sure I could take you there if you needed.
Some people say worth his salt and say no pun intended, but this guy just threw it out there and left it hanging.
No pun intended! No pun intended! I meant no pun!
He's actually a big pun master.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well... When life throws a storm your way.
Huge pun.
Better find poke it in the eye.
Oh!
Wow.
He pulled that one out.
I didn't think that was going to go anywhere, and it
did.
I told you.
I want to shake your hand.
This old man is incredible.
Get him away from me. I don't want to shake his hand.
What? Why?
Oh, I saw a video of a man who...
Let me shake your hand. I want to shake your hand.
I don't want to shake your hand. Get off the plane. No, listen. I'd love to take you over there, but... It seems so, We don't have enough people to man my much larger boat, but I guess we could take the fan boat if we got it up to speed.
The John Daffodil?
The John Daffodil. Finally up on open water.
John reaches into his bag and pulls out a bottle of champagne and breaks it over the nose.
Premature!
Is this like a Mun split? Like a tiny bottle?
No, it's a magnum of champagne.
Yeah, John Daffodil really two-hand swings this.
Yeah, breaks off the nose of the ship.
Ow! Listen, mechanically, though, do like a little skill challenge to get this thing up to snuff. Looking at your skills, is there anything, you know, just sort of sell me on a skill you have in a way that maybe it could help fix up this boat.
Okay.
I'm very skilled. Oh, fix it up?
Yeah. Like, it's like almost there, but like if you have anything that you could, you know, make an argument for why it would help.
I'm very skilled on the bagpipes, and my playing can motivate people and excite them to work hard.
Okay.
And in time with each other.
Sort of montage music.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I've never wanted to work harder.
Make a performance check.
13. 14. 14!
Oh, okay. Yeah, 14's high enough that he was like, yeah, wow, this actually helps me. He's like, starts tinkering away, just like, you know, like hammering at something on the engine, fixing the damage of the magnum bottle that hit the yeah. Kind of dinged it out a little bit. Any other skills?
I'm interested, then follow me on this. I'm interested in my find steed spell. I wonder if I can find some marine life that might be able to tow the boat out into waters where it can work.
I will say if you use a spell for find steed, you actually don't have to make a roll. So
I understand this game.
So you, what do you find?
I find
what swampy animal?
I find four fat gators that we can lasso. To tow us out to the
How does John Daffodil find these gators? What does he do to make this happen?
John Daffodil puts his face underwater and imitates an alligator so that the sound carries into the inky abyss. And it sounds...
I think he's sick and I pull him back up. John, are you okay?
Get off of me!
What?
Get off of me, no. I'm busy.
What?
As he's as he murmurs under the water, getting his whole mask wet, waterboarding himself, you see these fucking gators just swim up unnaturally fast. Yarth has some rope and he ties them up to the boat. And he's like, "This will do nicely."
Wow,
Nance, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm at this point. I'm limber. You know, I'm caffeinated. I'm dry. I'm limber. And so I would love to use, like, some sort of, like, acrobatics check to kind of, like, get the fan up to snuff or any sort of, like, tying or moving or...
Yeah, like, turning the fan to, like, kickstart the engine is a little hard and mm-hmm. requires some dexterity. Roll an acrobatics check.
Ooh, okay, that's a 10.
Carl is going to give you the help action.
Incredible. Oh, Carl, you're here?
Yeah.
Nat 20.
Oh!
You see Nance do this sort of like, you know, when in every Marvel movie when they do that thing where they wrap their legs around someone's head and then like throw them to the ground? Yes. You do that with a fan blade and like spin through the air and just hit the ground hard, but the fan just...
I take two steps, almost fall flat on my face. Carl bumps me up like a volleyball with his two hands, and then I fly and do something amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, the fan's up and running, and with that I say you will take off into the East Sapphire Lakes. The wind is whipping. It's so loud on this fan boat. These gators just skipping through the water, pulling you along.
Majestic creatures.
Yareth is like, pretty fun on a fan boat, I'll say.
Isn't it? Rules.
Quite a bit louder.
Speak from your diaphragm. It won't be a problem.
Don't be a problem.
Twon't.
Twon't be a problem. Whoa! You set sail for a little. I'm sorry. You set fan for a little while. Sago, John Daffodil. What do you think your characters' experiences are like on the water? Like, We know what Nance has been like, but...
I think John Daffodil stands at the prow of the boat with one leg on it. He looks like Captain Morgan standing at the very front of this fan boat.
It's like that American Revolution painting.
Yeah. Looking out.
Sago is... You know when you're on a vacation and it's like, oh, I packed too much into my day and didn't take care of my body? Sago's kind of there where he's trying to have a good time, but he's got like a migraine coming on. And he's like, I could drink all the water in the world. I'm not going to catch up to the amount I need to be hydrated anymore.
Oh.
And he's just kind of trying to smile.
There's like a little cooler that had like 3 bottles of water in it that's empty that you keep checking on.
Yeah.
You're in a t-shirt and so fucking cold.
Yeah. I honestly thought these would be a little.
I kind of forgot it would be cold in the water. It's like in a convertible, essentially.
Yeah.
Your mane's like.
Don't you love fan boats, Sago?
I'm freezing.
So eventually, after like 30, 40 minutes of riding around in this fan boat, you pull up to a cove. You pass a lot of coves that look pretty similar so far. It's pretty nondescript. It seems like by design their hideout isn't very obvious from the outside. Yareth lowers the fan boat speed and it's a little quieter and it's more of like a trolling motor now. As you start pulling in, you start seeing these spires coming out of the water that are these white spires that, as you look close enough, you see that it seems like they're made of salt. These, like, columns of salt coming out of the water. Everyone make a perception check.
Can I ask real quick while we're rolling these? Was it possible on that trip that I could have used it to also make a short rest?
Yeah. I'll say you guys could have all taken a short rest there. Sweet. For sure.
Only an 8.
11.
Perception?
Mm-hmm.
21.
Wow.
Sago's so out of it that you're like extra perceptive. You're just kind of like ignoring all of us, just being like,
it's like real fight or flight
yeah.
Energy.
Oh, no.
On a 21, as you start to enter this area, you see these more and more of these columns of salt and rock. You start to see forms on them kind of peeking out from the sides of them. Eventually, you do see what looks to be like a pole move, like it looks like someone was hanging on one, grabbed a pole and pole vaulted to another.
Whoa.
They're like kind of watching you guys as you pull in from a distance. They're watching you but letting you pass.
So I kind of like, I go,
what's that?
From your diaphragm, Sago.
Quieter. You quiet.
from your throat.
Halfway. We're being watched.
Okay.
You guys are being watched. Eventually, as you start trolling forward, you get to the end of this rocky, kind of salty path, and you start to see torches lighting up, or torches guiding your trail. You see, like, broken up pieces of ships kind of scattered around, like they've like almost like the nautical equivalent of a chop shop.
Mm.
And then eventually you see an area where there's like a larger pier area where their marauder ships are all parked, you know, are all docked here. There's towers looking over everything, and then there's this big rocky cave system at the end of this area. You see these towers looking over with like big harpoon guns. It's very like water world at this point. But there is an open spot for you as little boats pull alongside you and clamp onto the ship and take you in.
Can I look to Yareth and see if he's like, this is all according to plan, or oh fuck, we're totally fine?
Yareth is going to look to you and he's like, just play it cool, daddy-o.
Oh, Okay.
We best right. play by their rules here.
Okay, great. I look to John and I'm just kind of like, no crazy moves, okay? Everyone just be very
Is he
cool.
crazy? What is he gonna do?
Look, you never know who's gonna come out of John Daffodil when he opens his mouth.
These little boats trawling alongside you, you see that they have the same salt freckled faces as the person that was the assassin that you saw earlier. Salt Bay.
Oh my god.
You know Salt Bay?
Oh yeah.
Salt Bay.
This guy's like a guard, but he's looking at you with these sort of menacing eyes, but you know, part of him is like, okay, that's pretty cool. guides you in. You guys dock here, and people, there's just a silent show of force as the salt breakers are out there, but weirdly accommodating to you. Eventually they like help you out of the boat and guide you into this cave system where there's this sort of atrium area. In here, there's a raised dais with a makeshift throne of sorts. This barrel-chested man with a long beard. Been on the short side, but it, you know, this extremely intimidating presence with these like piercing blue eyes. He's looking at you all. He's tatted up and he's looks up at you, but then just continues to eat. He has this like big pot of mussels that he's just eating.
Local cuisine. You can always, what's the word, bond over cuisine.
Mm.
The great equalizer.
Yeah.
He does not look up at all when he says this, but he goes, my man told me he saw the same captain, one of the same people we chased after a few nights ago entering our domain. I was surprised and curious. So rather than just destroy your little fanboat immediately with our salt bombs, I thought I'd ask you face to face how any group of people could be so stupid. And then he looks at you and he's like, wait, are you Sago Glug?
Yes.
In the main.
What? What?
Yes.
What are the odds?
Pleasure to meet you. Why?
Sago Glug is here?
You know me?
One of my absolute favorite food reviewers.
Well, well, well. It's a pleasure to meet you. Yes, Sago Glug.
The nasty taco that you ate.
Yes, from my episode, The Taco in the Toilet. Oh,
it was, what was it? It was a gumbo taco.
It was a gumbo taco.
Ooh.
Actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just so messy.
Impossible. It's impossible to eat.
It's impossible to eat. There's too many openings and ways for the gumbo to get out. But at the end of the day, quite delicious. Yeah. And I'll eat all the nastiest shit in the world. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know.
I know better than most.
Let me offer you one of my favorite. I carry this with me as a snack all the time, as a offering of peace.
Lay it on me, man. What do you got?
It's a churro.
You carry a churro all the time?
I just carry a little pack of churros.
Oh, cool. Is it hot or is it fresh?
Well, it's not hot, but I can make it fresh for you right now using my one of my
prestidigitations
where I can heat or cool any item near me. So let me heat you up a little churro and one for... Well, let's break churro together.
That would go great with the salt. You see all these sweet like with the salt.
Salt breakers like holding their like spears and axes and stuff, like kind of lower them instinctively a little bit. And then,
and I'd love to try your people's mussels or whatever snacks. You know, I'd love to review.
Oh, you'd like
one
to try some of our snacks, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Famous last words. He laughs to himself. And he's like. What are y'all doing here as he digs into a churro?
I speak out of the side of my mouth. You didn't tell me you were just at war with these people.
Would have been great to know.
You know, when the chips are on the table, I just didn't think they would recognize me. I realize that I'm quite tall and I'm just kind of like a drunk waving woman.
But you're so red, so I guess you kind of look highlighted.
You would remember a 6'3" woman who can jump like 50 feet in the air.
It was like super sunburned. I just thought I looked pretty different and sounded pretty different now from the sun. So,
I'm not recognizable at all. The turtle man.
Old war turtle.
He's like, well, what are you asking them?
Well,
we
wanted to.
We wanted to ask if you could help us get into the party this evening. We saw your man with his salt-crusted face.
Who did you see? Who did you see?
I'm afraid I didn't catch his name.
Yeah, I describe what I saw.
So you described this like dwarf.
Salt-faced dwarf salt. Assassin that killed...
Bingo.
Bingo.
No, what's his name? Bibbidi.
Tibbs.
Tibbs.
Make a...
We saw him kill Bingo Bibbidi Tibbs.
It's a better name, honestly. everyone make an insight check.
12.
13.
22.
Especially on a roll that high, at the mention of Bingo Bibbidi Tibbs and a dwarf Saltbreaker assassin, you see this leader look to one of his like second in command or something, like his like staff that's right behind him. They make like a look of like there's some sort of knowing understanding of this person, but then he looks at you all and he's like, I don't know who you're talking about, but
My friend, we've broken churro together. I would like to be as forthcoming as possible, if everyone doesn't mind.
Definitely.
We are kind of seeking some information about the Volks family and their party tonight.
They all spit on the ground.
Fuck the Volks family.
Yes.
Good. We spit as well.
So the enemy of my friend is also my enemy.
That also works.
Yeah. We can agree with that.
And we're
trying to get into this party. And we're wondering if we could be as forthcoming as possible. I'm going to be honest with you. I just saw you look at somebody knowingly when we talked about Pivoty Thibodeau Tibbs.
And the assassin.
What's your association with this person?
He looks at you, Saga Glegg, and he's like, tell you what, we don't like to give information out freely here. But there is something I do want to see from Sago Glegg, one of my absolute all-time favorite food reviewers. I want to see him go head-to-head with one of my other all-time favorite food reviewers from the darkness. You see a red chin strap appear from the
Nathan
shadows.
Nosher.
Hello, Sago.
Nosher.
Interesting to see you here. I came out here to get the famous Saltbreaker spices.
Salt?
Yeah, among other stuff. It's salt-based, but it's a special salt. It's sea salt! And I struck up a conversation with these folks. They're pretty nice guys. Seeing as you've never done my show before, you've always refused to do the show, I feel like today might be the best time for us to go head-to-head and do Nathan's nosh off.
Well...
You see this captain just like giddy looking back and forth at the drama unfolding in front of him.
Nathan, are you going to the Volks' party tonight?
Oh, yeah. Let's just say I got invited.
And by that, you mean you got invited?
Yeah, I got invited. Great. I received an invite.
RSVP, did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I did I had my people talk to their people.
Oh, great. So let's just say, yeah, that's okay, great.
My pride will not allow me to do Nathan's noshes. But I will do Sago's squishes.
Whatever you call it.
I love the name.
Sago squishes.
Visceral. I can just picture you biting into a gumbo taco.
Call it what you want. We're going head to head right now.
I fear you not. I fear you not.
Oh,
not sure.
Boy, wow.
I fear you not.
Absolute Dutch language structure.
No, I fear you not.
I fear you not. I eat toilet.
I eat toilet.
You see this captain smile and he's like, oh, I can't believe I get to watch this in our very own chamber. Nathan comes up to you. Everyone backs away. And they leave the center of the room to the two of you. And he was like, call it Sago's Squishes or Nathan's Nosh Off. Whatever happens here today, we'll play by these rules. In this show,
what I don't know what you want to say, but when we do Nathan's Nosh Off, it's a show with nasty foods and even nastier questions. Traveled the world eating the grossest crap imaginable. I'm here today to try some Saltbreaker slop. You will, just mechanically, to how this will work out, you see these two men bring out these flights of food and put them to the side of you. They take off little like silver platter lids on the first thing. You see this like dried looking seagull. It's like a raisin. And he said, sun-dried seagull. Okay. You guys will roll initiative, and every round you'll eat something but also fight each other. Okay. He pulls his sword out. He looks to you and he's like, let's do it. Roll initiative.
Oh my god. It's like Survivor plus Hot Ones.
18.
Okay, you beat him.
Yes.
And while he's describing the rules, the whole time I am like also at the same audio level being like, hey, welcome to Sango Squishes, where we eat the squishiest.
You squish, you what?
Sweets and eats.
Oh, that's pretty good. The first thing you see is this disgusting sun-dried seagull. He looks at it to take a bite. How this will work is you will roll a constitution save as you eat this.
Okay, great. 10.
I believe.
Oh, are you? How close are you standing to this?
I'm right next to him.
So you will get the benefit of your aura, which is, I believe. So you're getting a +2 from this, no matter
two
what.
Two more?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're within distance. So you feel the presence of John Daffodil behind you, a little lower than you. You are touched by sort of. This plasticky mask on your ankle. you both rolled the same thing.
So mine's a 12 now with his.
Yes.
With his egg. All right.
And that is enough to pass this first one. You see him taste it and he's like, and it like was a little worse for him. You take 2 damage from this.
2 damage.
And now it is your turn. Nathan is in front of you wielding a little short sword.
Does short rest heal any hit points?
Yeah, you should be able to roll your hit dice. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Is that 4?
So basically, you should be at full health.
Great. And so now it's an attack?
Yeah, or whatever you want to do, but you guys are fighting / eating in this this foodie fight.
Great. So after, when I see him kind of weakly, like have more trouble with the food than I did, I look at him. And I cast Vicious Mockery. I unleash a string of insults laced with subtle enchantments at him. And if he can hear me, he must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take 1d4 psychic damage and have disadvantage on his next attack roll.
Ooh, okay. So he can see and hear you. What do you say as you do this?
Looks like Nathan's nosher can't handle the least nasty of the neats. And everyone can tell, by the way, I said needs. The N was in parentheses. So it's eats.
The needs.
So he rolls a save. Is that right?
He must succeed on a wisdom 14 saving throw.
He succeeds on the throw, but he still takes damage, I think.
What I also wanted to do there, if it's possible, was also use unsettling words, which is a bonus action that I can expend one of my bardic inspiration. And he must subtract a d8 that I roll from his next saving throw.
Oh, okay. Use that. Yeah. Cool. That's nice. Really good. A d8 from a saving throw? Wow.
Yeah. That's just 2.
That was enough to make him fail.
Right.
You see him like, it was pretty nasty to me. Everything is preference. Everything is preference.
Sorry, I can't hear you through your ugly mouth.
It's a normal mouth.
Great work, Sago.
So he takes
really
4.
Really feeling John Daffodil's health.
4 damage?
D4 second.
Okay, roll that D4.
And disadvantage on his next saving roll.
Wow.
2.
So he's been hurt a little bit. He got hurt a little bit from that. He's like a little, you can tell he's embarrassed by this. After that, he looks at you and his eyes crackle with lightning. And he's like, okay. Now, my mouth.
looks normal. And he's going to hit you with the Thunder Wave. So it's a 15-foot cube originating from this person. Make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, you'll take a certain amount of damage.
Great. 20 with the plus 2 that I get. Oh,
nice.
Okay, so that is very good. But you still take 5 damage from that.
Okay, wow, this is a real deal. I'm going to step up my attacks.
As he hits you with this, you don't get pushed back. Like, you think that could have hurt a lot more, but yeah. You were able to, with the strength of John Daffodil, are able to avoid the worst of that. The tray is moved a little further along. They reveal the next item. As he says this, he says, "Merry fuck, kill. Tavern spits and dives."
I have to pick, of those three types of
these
things.
Are the nasty questions I was talking
Merry
about.
Merry fuck, kill, tavern spits and dives?
Yeah.
My show or each of the places?
Each of the places.
Oh, okay. What's a spit exactly?
A spit is a haunch of meat on a like a spit.
Oh, fuck a spit.
You'd fuck a spit?
That's the right answer. Yeah, that's right.
Look, it's hard to choose between taverns and dives.
Marry taverns, kill dives. What's the matter with you? That's, of course, the answer.
I love dives. It's where the salt of the earth hang out. The people you
salt,
can't get
salt,
up.
Salt.
The salt of the earth hang out. Yes, this is my salt of the earth. Fuck Nosher!
Fuck Nosher. So what's your answer, then?
Well, I would marry dives, kill taverns, then revive them. And fuck up.
Nasty. What a nasty answer. The next silver platter is lifted, revealing the next thing. It is calamari, in quotes. It looks like to me this, like, just sort of fleshy, these fleshy, like, rings. You don't know what they are. Make a constitution saving throw.
It's like normal
more.
Calamari, honestly.
A lot of time. Hey.
Yeah.
16.
Okay.
15.
You guys both pass this one, so you don't go blind.
Oh my gosh!
It is your turn. You chew this, that weird kind of cartilagey texture.
It makes more noise than you think it's going to.
It's not good fried calamari. It's just sort of like, there is like maybe a rubberishness to it. It's gross.
Oh my god.
Your turn.
Sun-dried pigeon. Chewy calamari. Yeah, baby. Let's get glagged. And then I look at this motherfucker and I give him a daunting roar, and he must succeed a DC 12 or become frightened of me until the end of my next turn.
Ooh, okay. A DC 12?
Yeah.
And he makes this roll with disadvantage per that last thing, right?
Amazing.
Yes.
Two fours, he fails. What are you roaring?
This is your nasty eater? Scared of a little piece of squid?
You look around, there's a few guys like looking down ashamed. He was their nasty eater. He runs away from you scared, and he yells back, if you could only drink one thing for the rest of your life, would it be squid ink or Pepto-Bismol?
That's your nasty question.
You can tell he's pretty scared.
I would take the Pepto-Bismol and pour it down the toilet.
Toilet.
Real men feel their nausea, heartburn, upset stomach, indigestion, and diarrhea. And then as I'm saying that, I give him a big stinking cloud burp.
Oh my God.
Wow. Is that a bonus action?
The other one was a bonus.
Nice.
The daunting roar. So he must succeed a Constitution 14 saving throw.
You are fucking him up.
If he fails, he spends his action retching and reeling.
Okay. Yeah. You see him running away scared, going, blah! Everyone's looking at this guy. This guy is not putting on a show.
He should have chosen a different job. He is not good at
this. So he spends his whole action doing that? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's fuck this guy, I guess. Nathan Osher's like, no. Throwing up on the ground. This isn't how I don't throw up. I can eat anything.
It's somewhat of a waste of a turn for me, though, because I don't do any damage to him with that. So it's just kind of like a wash. But that's fine.
Okay, well, the next item is up. They open the next tray. It's fried sea pickles. Those are those, like, kind of sea cucumbers, but, like, so they're not actually...
It's like a sea anemone.
Yeah, it's like living thing that was, like, slimy-ass.
It's like an ortolan.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my gosh, it's just like an ortolan.
This is a little bird that you deep fry while it's alive.
Succession. Yeah. That they deep fry it alive?
Yeah, it's awful. It's an awful thing.
Anyways.
Damn.
Fuck.
Delicious, though. You can taste the pain.
Roll a constitution saving throw.
Gross off game.
19.
Okay, nice. You pass. I mean, you both pass. So that would have been disadvantage on spell saves if you don't make it. So he's throwing up. I'm going to say he can't eat right now.
So he skips one.
He skips one to the chagrin of the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
And they're gonna start throwing shit at him.
Yes.
He's gonna like skip. This is a big deal.
I would love to hit him with something as a crowd member.
Lay off. I've been there. Sometimes performances don't go the way you think.
I just have like a heavy like nickel in my pocket or something?
He takes 12 points of damage.
Jesus,
that's the heavy nickel that did that.
Yeah, great.
And I look. Oh, when John Daffodil chimes in, I look at him and notice like some bruises that have just stayed all around his body that are clearly from rotten tomatoes and stuff.
It wins in the shape of like a banana that hit him.
You see the like kind of like the leafy part at the top of it.
Why don't we lay off this guy?
Walk over to him and say, like, just tune it out, just tune it out.
You start coaching him.
I feel bad for anyone on stage.
Can I throw a monster, the creature, not energy drink at
his roll, head? Roll a sleight of hand check first.
It's the way I miss my rolling tray.
On a sleight of hand check.
Oh, no.
That one? Yeah, you get nervous and you whatever you do, you throw it at the back of Sago Glex.
No! Oh, fuck, Sago, you're doing so good. Sorry, I meant to hit the other guy.
Ah, my old best friend!
I'm your best friend of the day.
Sago, I've known you for years.
Sago, you take 4 points of damage from this thing that's in the back of the head.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know I was your best friend of the day, though. That's great.
After that happens, you see Nathan Nosher. Is he done throwing up now that it was?
Yeah, it's one turn.
He's like wipes his mouth. He looks up at you, anger in his eyes, and he goes, "Fried sea pickles, huh? Well, at what point did you know it was over with Fiona?" There's a hush over the crowd as this happens.
Wow, no spell needed.
And I don't even. I try to think and come back and go. I knew it was. It's. I bone nightly now.
Make a persuasion check. Disadvantage.
Saga.
Disadvantage for sure.
Oh no, that was a 3 without the. Yes, a 3 plus. So 7.
There's like a few people are like. Boo!
Song, I'm so sorry I hit you with that can.
That can turned everything around.
I'm so sorry.
Sago, it is your turn.
John Daffodil has, as a paladin feature, laying on hands to restore 25 hit points.
You look around, make an insight check as you do this.
17.
So, you know, you have that aura, which is a little like, it's a little sneakier, but you feel like if you interfere to that degree, they won't be happy with
that.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, that's like actively helping in a one-on-one fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So John Daffodil knows, can read a crowd enough to know not to do that.
Okay. Okay. but it is.
Hey, Sago, just so you know, I could lay on hands right now. I'm not going to because I'm worried about the audience.
You might, like, there might be a moment that is
now you can read the room?
Can Nance just start breakdancing to try to distract everybody?
Sure, yeah. I'll allow you a breakdance and you can make a deception roll. I would say that, though, you might want to wait for a more dire moment.
Sure.
Rowdy.
Great, so
It just felt you. The fight turn, and I wanted to help.
Yeah.
So it's me?
Yes.
So I cast Suggestion now, and he has to succeed a Wisdom 14 saving throw.
Okay. He fails.
And I suggest the sentence in his brain, all these salty losers are scum. And I go, I don't say anything. Actually, I just suggest that in his brain, and now I'll just quickly look at my bonus actions and see if I have anything to do.
Yeah, you probably can't cast another spell because you only do one spell a turn, but yeah, if you have any other bonus actions.
Great.
He already failed the roll, so you don't have to do like a vision, you know, whatever that thing is.
And attacks would be actions, right? Not bonus actions.
Pretty much all of them would be actions, yeah.
And so for my bonus action, I just kind of like, because I saw the room turn, I'm like trying to get the energy back and trying to get my mojo back. And so I just look at everyone and I go, hey, who thinks we should keep eating?
Make a persuasion check.
14. Or do I add two to everything?
Yeah.
Or saving throws?
No, saving throws. Sorry.
Okay, so 14.
There, you hear the crowd go, yeah, I remember that. Like, there's like a recognition more than like loving it. Like, yeah, keep eating. And you see Nathan like struggling with this. Like, he still got some throw up on his face, and like he was like trying to like collect himself. And then like this like suggestion like pops into his eyes, and he looks up. And what was it? He's like,
salty losers are scum, I think.
He goes, all these salty losers are scum. And he's going to take some more attacks.
Wow.
Because of that.
What a miss.
Wow.
Okay. He takes 10 damage from that.
Oh, God.
Which is a considerable amount of damage for this man. He's not looking great. Okay. After that, he looks up as these, like, yeah, they're pelting him with, like, you know, salt, prawns, like, some mussels and stuff. That guy throws his little, like, the empty, like, pot that he was eating all the mussels out of. Nathan Nosher is like, ow, 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 and looks up. It is his turn now. He's going to look at you, and he is going to cast his second level ability. He looks up and goes, get nasty! And you see it, the words echo from his mouth. Like, this painful, intense ringing erupts from his mouth towards you. He casts Shatter on you.
Oh.
This is a second level spell. Make a constitution saving throw.
12.
That.
Does he get plus two?
Yeah,
that was with your plus two. Yeah.
That just passes.
Woo!
Whoa.
But you are still going to take 3d8 divided by 2.
Wow. Oof.
You take 6 points of damage from that.
Wow.
As he casts this second level spell on you. After that, the Salt Breakers lift this sort of final silver platter top. Ooh. And you see this sort of, just a small piece of kelp that's like, you know when you go to like a hot chicken place and it's like really densely covered in spices? It's covered like that.
Ooh.
And he goes, the Salt Breaker's famous salty kelp spice. So spicy, you're only supposed to use a tiny drop on a pot of chili. But this is a whole kit and caboodle, baby.
Chili?
roll a constitution save.
What if they lifted one of the things and it was your milky chili?
Okay, you're going to take 2d6 from this. He also failed. He took 4 damage. You take 4 as well. He's looking fucked up.
Okay.
And after that, he goes, when's the last time you even really, really, really ate toilet? Be honest. As you feel the spice filling your rent, your nose starts running, your ears of smoke coming out.
And in my mind, I do feel that ever since Fiona left, I have not truly eaten toilet the way that I used to. But in my opinion, this should get me down, but instead it motivates me as I look into the eyes of my cucker. And I say, you're right. The old Sago is dead. Today a new Sago is reborn in the salt area.
The salt area?
And I eat more toilet than ever.
toilet, toilet.
And I start kind of dancing as they're all cheering, but I can't really see anything because I'm crying from the heat and my nose is running. I'm curious, can I cast Healing Word on myself? It's a bonus action.
You can make an insight check if you want.
Okay. 11 plus 13.
13. It's a bonus action, right?
Yes.
I think you can. Yeah. I was going to say, he's looking pretty low, just to throw that out there.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how low you're looking. But,
yes.
But yeah, if it's a bonus action, you could still attack even.
Yeah,
that.
Great.
Cool.
So it's a d4 plus 3, and that's, I rolled a 3, so 6. Woo. I heal 6.
Nice.
And then I look at him, and I just get my claws out.
Oh.
And I say, baby, you think you're messing with this kitten? Well, this kitten's got claws. Like, I tried to think of a food thing there, and I just can't.
That's right, baby.
A guy, a salt breaker from really far away, goes, crab claws! Crab claws!
Crab claws!
You thought you were messing with the kitten, but this kitten has crab claws.
That one guy's really like, used it!
That was not a good attack.
What is it?
Perfect.
9.
Yeah, you miss with the claws. Damn.
You're workshopping your own, like, material.
Fuck.
And I don't think I have anything that can make me, like, give me advantage or reroll on that. So, that's my turn.
Alright. After that, you look up, and he's going to try to taunt you. So he's going to first off take a short sword attack on you. He just is like frustrated and takes the sword out. He swings wildly with it, misses completely. But then he looks at you, kind of steps up to you, gets in your face, and he's like, "Can't wait to go to this party tonight with Fiona, of course. It's going to be quite the event." And as he taunts you, you have to succeed a DC 12 charisma saving throw.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You have to get at least a 12.
Oh, I have to get at least 12 on a charisma saving throw. 10 plus the 2 help plus 6. 18.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Easily not intimidated by this guy who tries to, like, get up to your height, but he's, like, way shorter than you.
And still all pukey.
I use my stomach to just bump his little stupid face.
Ow! You have his snot on your and throw up on your chest. After that, like, you have finished all the food, and now it looks like it's just a one-on-one fight. It's your turn again.
And I will, let's see. I'll just attack again.
Okay.
And I will do a another claw strike.
Great.
I'll say, this kitten's got claws! Crab claws again!
That one guy in the back. Yeah!
And it's a nat 20.
Yes!
Yes! Roll double dice for that.
Double hit dice? Or double
yeah.
What?
Damage dice. So
D4 plus 2 slashing. So I roll
so
D4
you
d- twice.
2 D4s.
Plus 4 slashing.
1.
Actually, four. You don't double the
oh,
die.
So 7 damage.
7 damage. Nice. Okay.
You go, Sago!
As you say,
crab claws!
And slash into this guy. You see him just like it, absolutely like, would you kill this? Sago, what is going through your mind? Do you feel like you want to stoop that low? How do you feel?
In my heart, I want him dead, but I know that like I'm also like a performer. I know what the people want, and they do not want to see me kill someone in front of them.
Yeah. So you slash him. He stumbles and falls to the ground. Still alive, but defeated.
And I like, there's some leftover of that spicy dust on his plate, and I lick it up off the plate.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Everyone,
and then
the
I
crowd,
drop the plate on his
the,
body.
The crowd erupts. The plate shatters on his chest. He looks up at you, breathing heavily. You hear this, the crowd as the salt breakers go nuts. Nathan looks up at you, does this sort of like finger motion to you to come nearer because he can't get up because he's so hurt.
Uh-huh.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
He goes, all I ever wanted was to be you.
Oh.
Well, you can't always get what you want, Nosher. And the only thing you're gonna be...
That guy in the back is looking at you and goes, Crab Claws!
Is Crab Claws. And I pull some butter out of my bag.
Yeah, you've been carrying around a gallon of...
melted.
He's like, he opens his mouth and he starts sucking down the butter.
No! No!
And I look at the whole crowd and I go, keep eating, baby!
I make a persuasion check with advantage. Dirty 20.
No, 20, sorry, 25.
Yeah, woo! With that, everyone goes nuts. They literally throw money at you all. It's
like gold. And so, I was his acting teacher.
You see, yeah, someone comes up to you and is like, I'd love to know more about your theater. And like, tries to sign up for classes.
John Daffodil pulls out a black and white composite headshot of him in many different poses and hands it to him.
He's like, is that $20? How much is this? You know, like, tries to give gold. Oh, yeah.
When you look at it, it's not like the common characters you would see. It's like very, very niche characters.
Yeah, a lizard. It kind of looks like kids shot. Like face painting birthday like ad.
A beautiful bride.
Oh my God. Yeah, and these guys are like, wow, cool, I can't wait to learn that. After the show, the sort of leader of the Salt Breakers takes you all aside, and he's like, wow, an absolutely incredible show. My name is Zub C. Ryder, by the way. I sort of the leader of these parts.
Zub?
Zum. Zum.
Zum. Incredible.
Zum. Yeah.
Zum.
Zum.
Listen.
Zum.
No, Zum.
Zumbody.
Zumbody.
Yeah.
The world is gonna roll.
Oh,
him.
Here we go.
Listen, that was quite the show. I'll give you what I want. I'll give you what you want. The dwarf assassin was a salt breaker, but he is no longer a part of us. His name was Forak Kegbo, and he was one of our best killers. But in our dealings with the different families in Solemnport, he was somehow seduced by the ways of Roland Volks. We've since stopped working with that creep. We used to go... there was a time when we would smuggle for him, though, and we would take stuff to, you know, from the ports, from, you know, stuff we you know, privateered from other ships. And sell it to the Volkses. Not at their house. They do have their own dock, though. But the secret is that they own the houses on either side of them. So they can. There's tunnels, I think, between them.
Was there like a common theme to the kind of items that they were wanting you to privateer?
Well, over the years, they've just, you know, a lot of security elements, some sort of magical stuff we didn't understand. We found this big sort of metal, I don't know, thing, this sort of metal rectangle thing that we found that in the lake, and we gave it to them. They've been doing some sort of weird stuff for a while now.
Was Forak acting a little strange before you two parted ways? Did he seem a little
he seemed
newly zealotous?
Indoctrinated, yes. It was not a vibe for us, you know, because we're about the salt life, and
yeah,
he became
definitely.
Significantly not about the salt life.
Salt life, brother. Salt life for sure.
Yeah. So we look around and see that they're all wearing like lots of salt life merch.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Also, like,
yeah.
Life
salt
is
Bay,
good.
Salt Life, old guys rule.
Everything
Jimmy
is
Buffett is playing.
Yeah,
everything they're wearing is a bottle opener.
Yeah,
you're a lot of. he was like, well, you know, but we don't work for them anymore. But
well,
that one house to the left, this is a particularly interesting hidden entrance that I bet you could figure out how to get in to their party.
Tell us everything.
Well, it's just sort of in the basement. You can go over to their basement and then come up.
Excellent.
Awesome.
But yeah, you should be able to park at the dock of the neighboring house fairly easy. I wouldn't take this loud fan boat unless you use the trolling motor.
Right.
And
to get on a boat with a little more like wind protection.
That doesn't seem like as much fun though. Part of the fun of a fan boat is
you like it. You like being on a fan boat.
It was not the best for me today. The idea of it was a lot cooler.
Hey, buddy, get ready to go on a boat at night. And speaking of that, it is night, and it is the party is happening soonish.
Ooh. You know, not to be absolutely sacrilegious, but should we check the pockets of the gross guy just in case there's like an invite that we can have as like a backup plan?
What's he up to right now?
He's just lying on the ground covered in what was it?
Butter.
Butter.
Butter like, that he was
you know, it's nice to have backups. I think we got a good plan going, but he's
yeah,
right
you
there.
Take
he was
his
so
invite?
Disgusting and
yeah.
bad, you know?
Yeah, you find an invite. It doesn't have a +1 or anything. You think that the plus, there's no, like, they, in whatever the +1 situation was, they all have their own specific to them invite.
Okay, great. So she could still get in, so we're not messing up her gorgeous night.
And go ahead.
I can do a Nathan Nosher impression and use this invitation if it comes to it.
Oh, great. Let's see that.
Hey!
Oh, great.
Well, don't you talk to me about that.
Oh, it's
two things I never heard him say. Two things I never heard him say.
It's a bit of a Templeton from...
a bit of a gay horse.
Well, I don't know about what you're talking about, but I'd love to.
Yareth is over there licking Nathan Nosher, and is like, pretty good butter. Right?
Okay, yeah. Yareth, let's get out of here.
Oh, yes, all right.
It's, you know...
Zum comes over and gives you a big bag of spices, and he's like, for your troubles, you're an honorary saltbreaker to us after
authentic
that.
Authentic saltbreaker spices from Zum. What a world.
It's mostly salt.
Right? It's salt.
But,
we're doing
but
salt.
But there's some other stuff in there.
Okay.
But after that, you guys all get in the fan boat and speed off towards Aurora Avenue, specifically the Volks Estate. And with that, we will end the app.
Freezing on a
wow, yeah,
so fucking cold.
Really quick, we are listening to a song called Aurora Avenue, which sounds a lot like Yellow Card's Ocean Avenue.
On Aurora Avenue.
Not only are we listening to it, Saga was playing it on his back.
If I could go to the Volks, the Volks Estate, yeah. I would be better.
And here comes the electric violin.
It's like it was like going through each instrument.
John Davidell
electric bagpipe.
These alligators are popping in and out of the water. Like, so happy.
They've all got their little like hair swooped over their
eyes. One's wearing a vest. And
the captain has a drum kit he's playing on.
He's strumming his shell as a turtle. Well, that was the third episode of the Six Arcs. Stick around for the Arc Bark next week, and then the exciting finale after that, the week after that. Let's go around plugs one more time. Grant.
Follow me on Twitter at GrantOB.
Ooh,
nice. Beardsley.
You can follow me on Twitter at my secret side Twitter that has literally 6 followers, Ali5U.
Really?
Ali4U was taken.
You're giving out your alt?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of weird shit on there. It's kind of funny.
Ooh.
That. It's not private.
Did you see the look on my face of like, I don't understand
yeah,
this at
yeah,
all.
You're like, why is this happening?
It's secret, but now you're telling everyone about it?
You have very little faith in how
it's,
many
it's really
fun.
It's really fun to tweet something and one person likes it.
Oh. Dan.
At Ali for you. It's all pictures of Ali's all over town.
I told you about that.
Ali accent free.
At Dan Lipper Cool on social media, the Man Dog Pod for Improv and Conversation Podcast, and biggrandewebsite.com.
Hell yes, I'm at Zachariyama. Let me know about your NFTs. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with the Arc Bark. Bye.
Bye.
Tits.
The last thing that gets hurt.
What was it?
I said, yeah, you're nice fucking too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Rotating Heroes podcast. I hope that you are enjoying Arc 6 with Zach Oyama as your DM, Ali Beardsley, Dan Lippert, at Grant O'Brien. If you're enjoying the show, please take a second to leave us a review. It really helps new rotators find the show. And of course, if you are in desperate need of more Rotating Heroes content, if you want to hear more of these incredible hijinks, if you want to hear the latest episodes, if you want to get the Arc Box where we talk about the episodes, then there is only one place to be, and that is the Rotating Heroes Patreon, which you can find a link to in the description on the show notes below. But until then, we shall see you next week, Rotators.